WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Wait a minute. Isn't it a little bit early for Money Matters? A little bit. It is. We're starting at 8 o'clock today, or 8:06. Jason Byers this morning, sound engineer. What are you doing so early? I don't know. Pete asked me to come in and a little bit early, and I'm happy to be here. So we're on for the next 3 hours today, 8 to 11. And you know what? There's plenty to talk about today. We've got topics of the week. I'm going to break down the odds of the Trump impeachment. And there's lots of these different sites where you can bet money. So there's real live odds that are created by enthusiasm and emotion around the world. And you can bet on this stuff. So we're going to break down the odds of the, at least what the betting odds are, where people are actually placing real solid financial stakes on political outcomes, and there are many different places to do so. That gives the market, to some extent, a barometer of where we're headed or what real probabilities are, because there's real capital stake. There is a real capital stake on these bets. So we're going to talk about the odds of the Trump impeachment. And then, of course, there's odds for Trump finishing a 4-full-year term. And there's numbers behind all of these to give us an indication, at least where the public or the masses really, the collective masses, think we're headed in Washington. So there's an awful lot to talk about today. We're also going to talk about really policy. So I want to talk about the policy that we could see coming out of Washington. Of course, as a follow-up to all of this talk about impeachment, the invocation of the 25th Amendment that has to do with the removal of a president because of his cabinet thinks he's no longer fit. And these are the words that are swirling around the world that we live in, and it's piqued everyone's attention, and we have to understand the numbers behind all of this. And of course, how it impacts your wallet, how it impacts the economy, and what Washington is doing to Wall Street, all the flood and the swirl of news here on Money Matters on a Sunday morning. And we have time to talk about it today. Last weekend, I also highlighted the I-85 bridge economic impact. And I want to go back over some of those numbers. I had a discussion this week with a couple different economists in looking at those numbers on economic impact or the probability or the issues if the bridge didn't get done. And there are so many examples throughout history of failed infrastructure that I had no idea until I started researching this, how many just buildings have toppled over, bridges have fallen, cell phone and telephone towers blown over by the wind, giant structures crumbling to the ground and then have to be rebuilt. And of course, as you can imagine, if anyone's ever built a house or done a project that has anything to do with construction and the modification of Mother Earth, you'll understand that, yeah, sometimes projects go well and they come in under budget. And sometimes projects are an economic disaster. Sometimes a project that's supposed to cost $100 billion and take 6 months or 2 years takes 5 years and $500 million. And that's really what's behind my thought about us narrowly escaping economic tumult here in the city of Atlanta. All of Metro Atlanta has a real debt to be paid to the folks that finished this bridge and got us back up and running. So we'll talk about that economic impact. It's also the 20th anniversary of one of the best stocks really that has ever gone public in the United States, particularly in our generation in the last 20 years. And of course, that stock is Amazon. And there's a real narrative around Amazon, and not just that the stock's done really well, and we know that. You can look at a chart and see that a dollar has turned into almost $500. And we'll go over some of those ideas relative to what the S&P has done, relative to what other retailers have done. But the narrative around owning a company that's been this good and this solid is pretty incredible, if you ask me. And the sheer emotional fortitude it's taken to stay in this stock. You look at Amazon today, close to an all-time high, you say, oh, that's an easy trade. But there have been so many periods of time when Amazon has got just not just small corrections. We're talking about 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80% corrections along the way in this storied company. There's also a narrative around companies that have become more efficient over time. So companies that are doing more with less, more output, more market cap, more revenue, more profit in many cases with less and less and less and fewer workers. So there's an interesting commentary around and some research that I'm going to talk to you about with companies that have the lowest amount of people relative to their size and output, in contrast to companies that have a ton of people and not as much economic output, and the difference that that has caused in the market. How have these stocks done? Not just the companies, but what have these stocks done? The other topic today, I know we have 3 hours. We'll talk about the active-passive debate and how an advisor can come in and what an advisor really can do. So let's just get started. By the way, phone line's open. I don't know if anybody, if it's too early for anyone to talk money or call in about money. I know you're probably headed to church or getting ready for church. If you're up this early and you're headed to headed somewhere, it might very well likely to be your place of worship. And we love that you're tuning in here to Money Matters, whether it's just getting your WSB, whether you're just getting, it's helping you get ready or you're on your way to somewhere, whether it's brunch. And today, with looking as ominous as it is outside, rain, clouds today, rain off and on, high of it, only 80, showers intermittent throughout the day, weather brought to you by ShoeBait, by the way, that you're tuning in, we appreciate it. This morning, Mike, when they found out it was a three-hour radio show, so I'm a little, it's a little lonelier than normal in WSB Studios here for me today. Usually my kids are here, at least one, if not two, my older boys are here in the studio with me in the morning. But this morning, when they found out there was a three-hour show, no way, Dad, am I going for 3 hours. That is way too boring. I don't care that I get to do the weather. That's not enough to be stuck for 3 hours listening to you talk, having to just read and draw. There's only so much of that. And you know what? As Jason Byers said this morning, there's not enough Oreos in the vending machine to get them in here this morning. Anyway, good morning. Let's talk about where we are in the market. And it's almost this week as if the market just kind of woke up for the first time in a long time and smelled all the drama. There's been so much complacency in 2017. There's been so much calm. Despite all these giant battles, these epic battles that have been waged or continuing to be waged in D.C., and I, to some extent that changed this week. On Wednesday, we saw the Dow drop almost 400 points. That was the first real pullback and the first whiff of fear that we have seen really since the Trump presidency, or since the election. And you've got to go all the way back to September of last year to find a day that dropped. We had this much of a drop in just one day. That equates to almost a 2% pullback on the S&P 500. So Wednesday was the kind of day where markets were really back to where I thought they would have been for the course of most of this year. There's so much coming out of Washington. There's so much infighting. And there's so much emotion on both sides of the political aisle. And of course, so much of this revolves around the economy. So it's all about taxes and healthcare and infrastructure. And the problem is, as infighting, as the population or Wall Street expects one thing, and then you get political infighting that leans in the other direction, there's this giant tug of war. What's going to get done? And knowing that outcome is significant because it's so tied economically. You know, this isn't a social bill. This isn't about same-sex marriage that we're talking about here. We're talking about economic issues on a very broad scale. We're not talking about education even. We're talking about direct economic political initiatives. And that's why I thought we'd see more volatility throughout the year, and we just haven't until this week. So the market finally wakes up and it says, hello, good morning, welcome to some volatility. And that's part of what we're talking about here today. So the phone lines are open this morning. We'll see if we go to the phones. And if you have questions about how all this impacts you, or you have some commentary you think is relevant that you want to share, and or a question that directly relates back to you and your family and your own situation, your financial situation, then we're here on Sunday mornings, whether it's early at 8:16 or it's 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock in the morning. We're here to take those calls and questions. The number in the studio, 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750. So again, the market finally wakes up to the drama in Washington, D.C. The allegations, of course, we've heard about it over and over in the last week. Trump supposedly, these are allegations, Trump tried to get the former FBI director to drop a probe into Michael Flynn. He's the former national security director. Supposedly the conversation where Trump said, hey, buddy, can you just drop all this? Can you, Comey, can you drop the investigation into Flynn? That brought up the I word. And the betting odds for impeachment have just absolutely soared this week. And as those betting odds went through the roof, the market went the other direction. If you look at a chart that tracks the betting odds for impeachment, they lingered in the 4 to 5 to 6% range, so very low probability. They went to 14. Early in the week, they were closer to 20. The day that this really, the news broke here, let's call it Tuesday night, Wednesday, odds went up to 33% in the betting markets for impeachment. Today, it looks to me, and then this is as of last night, those betting odds were around 20%. Of course, or 25% as far as the impeachment. So of course, the media has had just an absolute fantasy with this. Impeachment, obstruction of justice, and then the talk of the 25th Amendment. All of that swirl, yes, it could lead to the removal of Trump as president. And that's what the commentary is all about in the world that we live in. And it's remarkable to even be talking about the 25th Amendment. And we're going to talk about, let's go over what that 25th Amendment actually is. We've got to go quick news weather traffic break, and then we'll be back to talk about Washington, D.C., Donald Trump, the 25th Amendment, what all that means, potentially, for all of us, straight ahead.
Now, here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Yes, it's in the 8s, 24 minutes past the hour. We're on a little early this morning. We will go to the phones. But really, actually, we will do that. We're going to still talk about the 25th Amendment because it's a giant topic and you keep hearing about it. It's about removing the president of the United States. And that conversation has come back up over the past week because there's talk of impeachment, obstruction of justice. There's betting odds on all of this. Those betting odds look like they're in the 25 to 30% range, that there's a potential impeachment at some point for the president. We'll see if that, I'll give you my commentary on that as we move through this hour. I do want to go to the phones, though, so we're going to talk about that at about 8:35. So stay tuned for that. Let's go to the phones, though, first. Let's talk to Helen in Woodstock. Helen, what's going on up there in Woodstock? How can I help?
Well, it's a lovely day, and it's rainy, and I heard you, and I wanted to ask you about bitcoins, alternative currency. It's not just bitcoins. There are a number of other small alternative currencies, and it's my understanding that because of U.S. regulations, it's not used here, but I've seen it used in other countries.
Well, from what I can tell, it's only been a couple of weeks, and there was a giant report about a coffee shop. I think it's a big coffee shop in Russia that's using Bitcoin. There's a website called BitcoinRestaurants.net, and this is all United States. This is all U.S. And there are a bunch of different places within the United States, at least, that they say they take Bitcoin. So California, New York, Pennsylvania, Allentown, PA, Philadelphia, Santa Clara, California. So it's getting more and more widespread acceptance. What's interesting to me is really just look at it from a chart perspective, Helen. And if you think about it, you're carrying a dollar in your pocket, and that dollar now all of a sudden is worth $2. That's kind of exciting. You're thinking, wow, this is a great currency. And I look back about a year ago, Bitcoin was $443. The value of a Bitcoin was worth $443, let's say. Today, that number is 2067. So the price of Bitcoin, let's say, has gone from 443 to over 2000, and that's just a year. That's 362%. And it looks like a straight up mountain slope in the last couple of months. So the problem I see in this, and I'm not saying it's not a long-term currency that stays around for the next decade. The problem is just the sheer volatility. What goes up like a K2 mountain will come down. Usually, so what I think will happen, and the problem with this is that you could see the $2,000 come back down to $1,000 as soon as there's another security breach, and there will be. So I just don't like it for the volatility. It's not a commentary on whether it stays around long term or not. It's just you don't want a dollar to now be worth 50 cents in your pocket. That's my worry. We're talking politics, the 25th Amendment, Trump, how it ties into Washington, right here on Money Matters, straight ahead.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss, certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Well, good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here, WSB Radio. You know, not the prettiest day on the planet here in Atlanta, except it's exciting to have a little bit of rain. It just cools off. I was at a Preakness party last night, and as you know, it was 90 degrees most of yesterday. You're sweating. Nice day in Atlanta, but it started getting to that period of time where it's just oppressive. And as I walked to the Preakness party, and by the way, I love that cloud computing 13-1 odds won the Preakness, which is just the future. Is cloud computing. Well, the future is cloud computing in a lot of different ways. And we're talking about Amazon today. Speaking of cloud computing, yes, it all ties in together. But we had this giant rainstorm that came in and it just cooled everything down. It was like a giant air conditioner and it just made everything better. We went from 90 degrees down to about what felt like 78 degrees. And in an outdoor venue, that's a win. Even though it was raining. Kids still outside running around playing basketball in the rain. Complete mud, but it was still wonderful for the adults as everything cooled down. Now, what is now 13-1 odds, by the way, as we transition into odds. And yes, we're talking about odds of impeachment, odds of Trump not lasting 4 years, according to all the different betting sites. But a 13-1 odds, you're looking at, let's see, 1 divided by 14, the percentage chance of winning for cloud computing last night in the Preakness, only about 7%, 7.1 to be exact if you do the percentage math on those odds. And so it was a long shot and it won. So exciting for horse racing. There's something about horse racing. And my wife went to University of Kentucky and it has just a love for horse racing. And there's just so much around these, you know, it's a 1 minute event, 2 minute event, but the entire day is based around it. And there's something wonderfully fun about that. I don't know what it is, but there's something so much fun. At least I love these horse racing events. I've never been to the Kentucky Derby. I have been to a place called Keeneland in Kentucky where it's this fun culture of horse racing. And I don't know what it is, but I love it. And my wife would love for my kids, at least one of the four, to go to University of Kentucky. And I'd like them to go to the University of North Carolina. And quite frankly, I'll be happy if they go to college at all. That and my expectations, I just, hey, let's get them in somewhere at some point in the future. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Today, looks like we're at a high of about 80 thunderstorms throughout the morning. That'll give way to cloudy skies this afternoon. Winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance of rain about 80% throughout the day. So just know that it's about 67 degrees on Peachtree. Good morning. You've tuned in to Money Matters here. Yes, we're a little bit early this morning. In the 8 o'clock hour, we're on until 11, talking about Trump, Washington, what's happening, and how does that dictate the economy and Wall Street. Volatility woke up this week, down almost 400 points on the Dow Jones on Wednesday. It's almost as if the market just finally woke up and smelled all the drama that you and I have been witnessing over the last several months. Just a programming note, too. One of my favorite radio hosts, let's call it a new up-and-coming radio star, Monica Matthews. She's typically on from 8 until Money Matters until 9. Instead, today, Monica will be on from 1 to 3. She's going to be on live today, Sunday, 1 to 3. And she talks about faith and politics in a very new and refreshing way that, quite frankly, I'd never heard before. And when I first heard her about 6 months ago or a year ago, whenever it was, I thought to myself, this is just this is crazy. I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear this. But you know what? After about a week or two or three, I started to really warm up to it. And it's one of it's a refreshing new show that you will love. She is a wonderful host and a lot of fun to listen to. So you don't want to miss Monica Matthews today from 1 until 3, faith and politics. Her sign-off is the coolest sign-off. I'm never going to even compete with this. She says, remember, if you're an American, act like it. And I haven't ever come up with a sign-off that's good, and I never will. Monica Matthews has already beaten me to the punch. 1 to 3 today, Monica Matthews Show. Good morning. You've tuned into Money Matters, WSB Radio here on a Sunday morning. The number in the studio, 404-872-0750. We want to talk about the 25th Amendment. We want to talk about the probabilities of Trump getting impeached or lasting 4 years. We want to also go to the phones here, just that the lifeblood of Money Matters is all about taking your calls and your questions. And we're going to continue to do that. As I was just about to go to a question, they are no longer on the line. We'll go to another question. But again, the number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. Or if you are listening in Texas or Washington, D.C. or Michigan or Oregon, or even my hometown of outside of Philadelphia, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Aaron joins us in Atlanta. Aaron, good morning. How can we help? What's going on?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. My question is, I have a 8 and a 10-year-old, and we haven't put money away for their college fund because we just haven't had the capability to do so. However, they do have about $10,000 sitting in a credit union and just in an account. And I've wanted to invest their money to make the most of their money. However, I'm a little bit frightened about the stock market. I'm not that stock market savvy. So the best place to start with a fund for them, or the best place to make the most of their money so we can use it for their college or they can use it for their college, advise me, please.
So a couple of thoughts. One, I have kids your same age, so I know exactly where you're coming from. I have a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old and a 1-year-old. So I know exactly that thought as a parent of, hey, we've got to pay for college. The other interesting thought here as a parent is that for some reason, we're all guilted into feeling like we're supposed to have everything saved for all of our kids by the time they get to school. And it's so unrealistic because again, most people in America, or the percentages are that we have this 80% of folks have, they're not even going to remotely have enough money to save for retirement. Yet, we are told as a culture that, you have to be able to at least save for your kids' college. And the numbers are astronomical, right? It's like, you hear that today it costs $45,000 to pay for school, but by the time your kids, Aaron, are in school, it's going to be $120,000 per year, per child. That means you need almost $500,000 per kid. Fast forward 3 kids, now you need $3 million you need $500,000 per kid. So now you need $1.5 million just for your college. And it's just unrealistic. And here's the good news, or I don't know if it's good news, maybe it's comforting as a parent. Nobody does it. I have worked in the financial industry now for about 20 years. I know one family in all of my work, thousands of families I've talked to and known and talked about this. I know one family, it's a good friend of mine whose father was an oral surgeon in Boca Raton back in the 80s and made about $1.5 million a year. And he did that for like 25 straight years. He sent 4 kids to Princeton, Harvard, MIT, and Yale. And yes, he paid full boat for all 4 kids. Other than that family, I don't know anybody else that saved the full boat for all kids. So here's what So if you're a parent and you're listening, here's what I see most often, and this is about as much as most parents can do, and I think that this is more logical, is that we break college, which is a giant burden, we break it up into thirds, and the first third is, yes, Aaron, this call right now, you're saving for your kids right now, and they're still young, and you've got about 10 years or 8 years, let's say, before they really start to need it. Right? That's number one. Number two, you pay for their college as they are in college and you are working at a cash flow. This is why people don't retire until their kids are done college, because it is a big big financial commitment, and you need, most parents pay for college out of cash flow. So that you're still working, you pay for about a third. The next third can be on them, whether is they pay for it through work, summer jobs, their own savings, or they take out loans. Or they take out loans and you help them take out those loans. That's how the shared cost of college realistically gets done in America. It's not that you're the only parent that hasn't saved $1 million for your kids to go to school. Most people cobble together away in about thirds. You save a third, you pay for a third while you're working, they pay for a third, and they have skin in the game when it comes to loans. Now, that's a lot of commentary around a question that, and all you ask is, hey, where did I put the money, Wes? Don't be afraid of equity markets when it comes to kids. Don't be afraid of the stock market because, and this is what I do for my kids, they have a long time until they're going to get to school. Even my oldest has another 8 years. That's a full economic cycle. My 7-year-old, he's got, what, another 11 years. Jake, my 5-year-old, he's got another 13, 14 years. And then I have a 1-year-old. I mean, that's a long time from now. So I'm not afraid to have their college-based savings in, and it doesn't have to be in a 529 plan. I do like the Georgia's plan. So Georgia is Path to College 529 is the website, Path 2, College 529. That's the Georgia website. You get a little bit of a Georgia state tax deduction to do their plan, but why not use a little bit of money, do $300-$400 a month if you can into that Georgia plan. I would do the age-based plan that looks at them and says, oh, they've got 10 years before school. It's going to be a mostly stock-based plan, and that's good. It'll be more conservative by the time they get to school, Aaron, but don't be afraid to have it in equity markets today. Even if the market corrects 10, 20, 30%, you're still putting $300-$400 a month into that. That's fine. In fact, you would rather a market pullback in the next few years while you're putting money away. So then when it finally recovers, maybe it's good timing for them to get to school. That's how I think you maximize return. At least that's what I'm doing. So your options are the college 529 plan. That's a home run. The Georgia-based plan, I think, is great. It's low cost. And then just regular after-tax savings. I mean, you can have a Vanguard account set up for each one of the kids, and it can be Vanguard 500. It can be the Vanguard Dividend Appreciation Fund, but it can be, and these are the vehicles that I'm using for my kids because they're 100% stock market based, or their exposure to the market, but you've got time. So don't be leery of markets, particularly when you've got five, and really you have 10 plus years to invest this money for these kids. So hopefully that helps, Aaron.
Thank you. Would you take the entire $10,000 and invest it immediately? Or would you start by allocating the monthly amounts?
Well, I would. So it's really, so now that gets back into this dollar, do you dollar cost average? Do you time the market? There's never a good time. It always feels, particularly when you're in a market high, when do you get started? The question is whether you have 10,000 or a million or 10 million. What if you're in cash and you want to get invested, what do you do? So you're faced with the same timing problem anyone's faced with cash. If you overthink it, you will become paralyzed and you'll never do it. So I've developed a strategy where when I have a goal in place, and you do, college, or whether it's that or retirement, I want to get started usually with just half, just for your own psyche. Get started today with half. So what if the market goes down? Because you still have the other half to put in, and do that systematically. Divide the other half by 6 and do it for the next 6 months, or divide the other half by 12 and do it for the next 12 months. But commit to a plan so you can get invested. And I would get started with at least half today, Aaron, knowing, particularly knowing that you're going to be putting a bunch of money in over the next several of years, and you're going to be adding more over the next several years than you're even starting with today. Does that make sense?
And would you do the same, obviously not the Georgia College Fund, but would you do the same for retirement? I mean, is there a better plan to do that for retirement as opposed to a Vanguard 500 or a Georgia?
Wow, there's so many. Well, you know what? Hang on a second. We got to do a quick break, and I'll come back to you. So hang on, Aaron. You're listening to Money Matters. Straight ahead, more with Aaron from Atlanta here on WSB.
This is Scott Slade, host of Atlanta's Morning News on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. We'll cover breaking news, Kirk Miller's weather, and traffic red alerts throughout the weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now back to Wes Moss and the money and investing advice you need.
We're back live here, Money Matters. We're going to go right back to Aaron. Aaron, we only have a couple quick minutes left, and let me try to answer your last question. Now, what was that again?
Well, the question I asked was in reference to retirement. At a 50-year-old, the best place to put your money. I've been buying property, so I have a couple properties. Would you continue to buy property versus taking your money and putting it in stocks at this point? I'm not really quite sure what the best avenue is.
Well, Aaron, I think that some of the best plans, and I've had families do this starting in their 30s, and they slowly accumulate rental properties over the course of 20 and 30 years. I think the best retirement plans have multiple different ways you get your income. So I'm a big believer that you want one or two or more rental properties, and that might be $1,000-$2,000 a month in retirement, maybe more. And then to have your own investment plan that'll kick out another couple $1,000s a month. So it's not an either or, it's both. That I think really makes sense. So you want your 401k and you want your retirement savings. That's one vehicle, but it shouldn't be necessarily the only vehicle. If you have the inclination, and it's really about time and effort, Aaron, to have physical rental properties, which take time, they take sweat equity, they're a pain in the butt for most folks. But if you're inclined to do that, I think it's a really good second and third or fourth way that you're getting your monthly income in retirement. So the answer is I like both, Aaron, but you have to think about it that just like your 401k money, retirement money, accumulating these rental properties over time takes a lot of time too. And it takes a lot of years for them to come to fruition to really be worth something from a cash flow perspective once all the debt's paid off. Good morning. You're listening to Money Matters. We're talking about Trump, the impeachment odds, the odds that he lasts 4 years, the implications to, of course, Wall Street here on a Sunday morning. We've got Money Matters coming back on.